This is Good Hope Through Grace, brought to you by the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur. I'd like to draw your attention tonight to the book of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, we're going to be focusing this evening on verses 12 through verses 21. We've been in the book of Romans here for a couple months, and I pray that it's been a blessing to you. Again, the theme of the book of Romans is justification by faith. Now, I'd like to read a few verses, and we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll go ahead and get into our lesson this evening. Romans 5, and let's go ahead and begin at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Verse 15, for not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have this honor and privilege of being on the radio, and we pray tonight as we deal with this text and as we look at the imputed righteousness of Jesus and the illustration of it in this text, we pray that you would open someone's heart to this, your word, and that they would tonight see their need. If they have never have trusted you as Savior, perhaps there's someone listening that's trusting in themselves, and they've never seen that we're saved by His righteousness, your righteousness. We pray that you reveal it unto them. We pray that you be honored in all said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're going to title this message this evening, An Illustration of Imputation. An Illustration of Imputation. Now, we have been talking about imputed righteousness ever since we started the book of Romans. And the word imputed means to charge to one's account. And when we're talking about imputed righteousness, we're talking about having Christ's righteousness charged to your account the day that you, by faith, receive Jesus as your Savior. He charges to your account His righteousness, and He charges your sin to Jesus. Now, Romans 4 says this. I'll read it to you again, kind of a review. It says in Romans 4, verse 6, even as David described the blessedness of the man upon whom God imputes righteousness without works. Now, I want everybody to listen to what that just said. God imputes righteousness without works. Now, this righteousness that He's imputing is Christ's righteousness. And it's a righteousness that comes by faith in Jesus. Romans 3:22 says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ upon all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference. So this imputed righteousness is charged to your account by faith in Jesus Christ. It takes 100% righteousness to go to heaven. And there's only been one person that walked this planet that was 100% righteous, and that was Jesus. We've seen also in Romans 3 in the verse 23 that all sin comes short of the glory of God. And everyone born of man, everyone born of man has been born into sin. And Romans 3:23 said all have sinned with the exception of one, and that is Jesus. Jesus was the virgin-born Son of God, and He took flesh so that He could be born under the law and keep the law 100% so that He could redeem us from our sin. And what He did, He lived a 100% perfect life, and He then went to Calvary, and He laid our sin, all of our sin was charged to Him on Calvary's cross. And He died for our sins. He didn't die for His. He didn't have any. And then after being buried and after 3 days, He resurrected again from the dead. And that resurrection proved that God received his atonement, his sacrifice for our sin. Romans 4:25 says he was delivered for our offenses, not his, ours, but he was raised for our justification. We're justified means to be declared righteous. It's what happens whenever God takes your sin and charges it to Jesus, that's imputation, and then he takes Christ's righteousness and he charges it to you. And when your sin is charged to Jesus and his righteousness is charged to you, then God declares you righteous, and that's what it means to be justified. Just as if you'd never sinned. That's your standing whenever you're born again, whenever you're saved. You're not saved by your righteousness. You're saved by Christ. Well, with all that background, we come into tonight's message, which we have entitled An Illustration of Imputation. And what he uses as an illustration in our text this evening is the illustration of Adam. The illustration of Adam. Adam is an illustration of imputation. The problem with Adam is that because of Adam, sin has been imputed to our account. I mentioned a little while ago that whenever we're born into sin. We're born sinners. And we have also been charged with the sin of Adam because Adam represents us. Matter of fact, the Bible says that there have been two Adams. And you're either in one or the other. First Corinthians chapter 15 says this in verse 45. It says, so as it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. You see, it uses the first Adam. And the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, who's the last Adam? Well, the last Adam was Jesus. Both the first Adam and the second Adam represented us. And the first Adam, through the first Adam, sin has been charged to our account. We're born sinners. We're born with a sinful nature. And we've also been charged with Adam's sin. That's the reason why all men die physically, is we've been charged with Adam's sin. One of the curses placed upon Adam was, dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. So everyone after Adam experienced physical death, with the exception of Elijah and Enoch. God translated them, I believe, and took them to glory, and they never experienced a physical death. So we've been charged with Adam's sin. Now, that's what it's pointing out here in the book of Romans 4 and the verse 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered the world. That's Adam. That's how sin entered. He represented us there in the garden, and death by sin. So death, now listen what this says. Death passed. Now that death there is physical death. Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Every one of us has sinned in Adam. When Adam sinned, when Adam fell, we fell. He represented us. Well, he goes on and makes an illustration here in verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Now, says sin is not imputed where there is no law. Well, that means the law wasn't given until Exodus chapter 20. I mean, Moses, I mean, you have a lot of people that live from Adam. Billions of people live from Adam unto Moses. So that was before the law was given. But it says in verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Men died. Adam died. All the men of the Old Testament, different ones are mentioned. All men died, except for the exceptions that I mentioned there a little while ago, Elijah and Enoch. They were special cases where God translated or took directly to heaven. They never experienced physical death. But why did men die? Why did men die from Adam to Moses? Well, that's because they were charged with the sin of Adam. the law hadn't been given yet, as far as the written law of Moses hadn't been given yet. Ten commandments hadn't been given yet, but yet men died. Why was that? They were charged with Adam's sin. They were imputed with his sin. When he died, when he sinned in the garden, we sinned. And that's what verse 12 of Romans 5 means, for that all have sinned. In whom we all sinned is the idea of it. So that's an illustration of imputation. Men are charged with the sin of Adam. That's why everyone dies and experiences physical death. Also, everyone that's born has been born a sinner too. Why is that? Because ever since Adam sinned, everyone born has been born with a sinful nature. It's the day that Adam ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he died. He died spiritually. And from that time forward, everyone that was born with a sinful nature, and they were born dead in trespasses and in sins. Spiritually dead. That's the reason why Romans 3 said, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. That's because they're dead in their sins. Where you trace that spiritual death back to, you trace it back to Adam. Where you trace physical death back to, that goes back to Adam. And that's the reason why men died before the law was given, because they were imputed with the sin of Adam. All right. Now, that's bad news, is it not? But there is good news, and the good news is that there is a second Adam. There's a second representative of us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it says this in verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead. Now, that's talking about the sin of Adam. Through his offense, many be dead. Much more, the grace of God and the gift by grace, which by one man, Jesus Christ, may abound unto many. Listen to verse 18. Therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Again, that's speaking of the sin of Adam. He sinned. Therefore, all his sin was charged to our account. Okay, imputed to our account. That's why men died physically even before the law was given, because they were charged with the sin of Adam. Now, so it says, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, that's talking about Jesus, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. You see, this is an illustration Paul is using of imputation. People have a big problem with it. But he's just showing you, hey, imputation happened in Adam. Men were charged with his sin because he represented mankind in the garden. Well, Paul then goes on to say, in Jesus, in the same way that sin was imputed through Adam, righteousness is imputed through Christ. It's an old doctrine, except it's so much prettier when you're talking about Jesus' imputation. Through the first Adam, sin was imputed. Through the second Adam, Christ Jesus, righteousness is imputed. And that's the argument that Paul is using in the text. For those that would think that odd to be saved by the righteousness of Christ, he just takes you back to Adam and says there's imputation established there already, except sin's imputed and a curse is imputed. Well, under Jesus, righteousness is imputed. Oh, my friend, it's a blessed doctrine to be charged with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's the reason why his righteousness is so very, very important for you to see. Because if people don't understand imputed righteousness, then they do what I've read many times on the broadcast. They do exactly what Romans 10 says. It says, they being ignorant of God's righteousness, they go about to establish their own righteousness. See, that's the problem. You can't, hear me now, you can't do enough righteousness. in order to earn heaven. You can't do it. The demands of God's law is 100% righteousness. Jesus is the only one that did that, as we've already pointed out tonight in many other broadcasts. God's righteousness is Christ's righteousness. Since they've been ignorant of God's righteousness, they go about to establish their own. My friend, hear me. If you're trusting your righteousness, you'll never make it because you can't do enough. You'll fall short. That's what Romans 3:10 said. All have sinned and come short. There's none righteous. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. Not only is none righteous, Romans 3:10, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. We've all done it. That's why we need imputed righteousness, and that comes by faith in Jesus. We were charged, imputed with Adam's sin, but when we're born again, we're charged with the righteousness of Christ. That's the point that Paul is making in the text. It's not an off-the-wall doctrine. It's a doctrine that you can see all the way back to Adam. We're going to heaven, not based on our own righteousness, but based on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let me read on now more about this blessed doctrine of imputation. You see the illustration of it with regard to Adam. Now he's just going on and showing how Jesus brings to us his righteousness. Romans 5, it says, verse 18 again, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. We're justified in Jesus Christ. We're declared righteous by him. It says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, but by the obedience of one, that's talking about Jesus, shall many be made righteous. Isn't that a marvelous teaching? So, we are imputed with his righteousness. We're made righteous in him, declared righteous in him. We have a righteous standing only in Jesus. So, to have that standing, you have to be in Christ. You have to be in him. Only way you can have that standing before God. The only way that you can know for sure that you have enough righteousness in order to go to heaven. You know, if you're trusting in yourself, there's no way that you can know that you've done enough to earn it. And I'll go ahead and straighten that out for you if you'd like. You haven't done enough to earn it. And the only way you can make it is not by your righteousness, but rather by Christ's righteousness. Okay? Verse 20 says, for by the law, for moreover the law entered that the offense might abound. Reason, now, when the law did come in, the Ten Commandments, the purpose of the Ten Commandments was to draw attention to the fact that you are a sinner. By the law is knowledge of sin. Of course, man had a conscience even before the law was given. Man had a law written on his heart. But in the book of Exodus chapter 20, when he gave the commandments, then the law was written on tables of stone. And because men didn't have the fear of God in their heart, they never obeyed the law that was on the tables of stone either. So man has always been born with a conscience, but a conscience can be seared. And my friend, that's the reason why a person needs to have a new birth. So that they would have God's fear placed in. That's what happens in the new birth. He puts his fear in your heart. Well, the purpose of the Ten Commandments was to bring knowledge of sin. It's like a thermometer. You might have a fever of some type, and the doctor may put a thermometer in your mouth. And the purpose of the thermometer is it's an indicator that you got a problem. But the thermometer isn't a cure, is it? You don't eat the thermometer if you got a fever. It's just designed to show you got a problem. That's what the Ten Commandments was for. It was for the knowledge of sin. So that you can look and say, wait a minute, I've broke this and I've done this and I've broke that. I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. The law was designed to bring you to the Christ so that you'd see your need and trust Jesus. That's the purpose of it. It says in Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And that means over and above, over to be over exceedingly. We sing a song at the church at times, grace that is greater than all our sin. It goes on to say that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness and to eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So, sin entered through Adam. Man was charged with the sin of Adam. And physical death happened all the way down to when till Moses gave the law. How could that happen without the law being given? Because the sin of Adam was charged to all men that were born after that. That curse was charged to man. They were imputed with the sin of Adam. Well, in like manner, when you receive Christ as your Savior, you're imputed with His righteousness. As you was imputed with Adam's sin, now that you're born again, you're imputed with His righteousness. You're saved by His righteousness. It's just an illustration. And His righteousness and His grace is greater than all your sin. You say, Jeff, I've done so much. Well, if you we've all sinned. And we all need a Savior. And I'm telling you tonight that His grace is greater than your sin. Where your sin abounded, grace over exceedingly abounds. Now, it mentions this gift of imputed righteousness, this salvation which comes by faith. And it makes several statements about this gift that as we're coming to a close of the broadcast, remember this broadcast is entitled An Illustration of Imputation. But here it describes the imputed righteousness that comes through the salvation which is by faith. Romans 5 and verse 15 says that that gift of salvation is a free gift. It says, not as the offense, so is the free gift. Now, what is a free gift? That means it doesn't cost you anything. But it did cost Jesus everything. In order to bring salvation to an old sinner like me, Jesus had to pay the debt that I owed. I needed my debt paid. I needed the where I broke God's law paid. I needed all that taken care of. Well, Jesus came and He paid that debt. He paid that price of my sin debt, and He paid that price in full. And that gift of salvation is a free gift. It was purchased by Jesus. You know, Christmas time is coming, and you'll purchase a gift. And when you purchase a gift, you pay all the price for that. You don't pay half of it. Certainly hope you don't. You buy someone a gift, and they open it up, and you say, hey, here's your gift. I paid half. You pay the rest. No, you pay all of it. And that gift is free to the person that receives it. That's the way salvation is. Jesus purchased it. He bought and paid for it. Romans 6:23 says the gift of God's eternal life. Eternal life's a gift. It's not a prize you earn. It's a gift you receive. Romans 5:15 says it's a free gift. The imputed righteousness of Jesus is a free gift. You can't talk about salvation without adding in and including imputed righteousness. That's what salvation is. If you haven't got imputed righteousness, you haven't got salvation. It's a free gift when you trust Jesus. He bought and paid for it. Goes on to say in Romans 5 and verse 15, not only is this imputed righteousness a free gift, but it's a gift of grace. That's basically saying the same thing. Where grace means not of works. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, through the means of faith. The object of that faith is Jesus. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. I tell you what, there won't be anyone bragging in glory. The only person that will be getting the glory is Jesus. As a matter of fact, even in this life, book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, him that glories, it says, let him glory in the Lord. We're nothing without Him. We wouldn't have eternal life if it wasn't for Him purchasing it. We wouldn't go to heaven without His imputed righteousness. That's the reason why the Bible says, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. We've seen this a couple times in the book of Romans. Where is boasting then? Remember, we read that text. Boasting is excluded. We have no grounds to boast save in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's Romans 3:27. Where is boasting then? Is excluded. If you're saved by His righteousness, you have no grounds to boast in your own righteousness, do you? Your grounds of boasting is Jesus. So, it is a, not only is it called a free gift, but it's also a gift of grace. It's a gift that is unmerited on your part. You don't earn it. Now, I often get asked, don't you believe in living right? Don't you believe in good works? Absolutely. But I'm not trusting my good works or me living right to go to heaven. I mean, it's not my works that saves me before or after my profession. You say, well, Jeff, James 2 says that faith without works is dead. That's exactly right. A true faith in Jesus will produce a change in a person's life. And you'll see good works. But the good works isn't the cause of salvation. It's the effect of it. Remember, we go to heaven by the righteousness of Christ, not our own. But we do our righteousness. Matthew 5 tells you why we do our righteousness. Matthew 5 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. We do good deeds to bring glory to the one that saved our soul. But my friend, it's not our deeds that saves us. Our salvation is a free gift, and our salvation is a gift by grace. Isn't that a glorious salvation? Now, there's one other mentioning of this gift in verse 17. Not only is it a free gift, it's imputed righteousness that comes in salvation. Not only is it a free gift and a gift that comes by grace, but verse 17 says it's a gift of righteousness. Listen to this. For I've read this verse earlier, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Well, there it says that it's a gift of righteousness. A free gift, a gift of grace, and a gift of righteousness. I tell you what, there's no greater gift than what I'm talking about right now. You need the gift of righteousness. How do you get the gift of righteousness? How do you get any gift? You receive it. Now, does that gift cost you anything? It's a free gift. Jesus paid for it. Now, you may be persecuted because of it, or you may be mocked because of it, but as far as obtaining the gift, that's obtained by faith in Him. That's why it's called a free gift, a gift of grace. And it's also said to be a gift of righteousness. The greatest gift you can receive tonight is the gift of righteousness. And there's only one way that you can receive that, and that is the righteousness which comes by faith. The righteousness of God which comes by faith in Him. Romans 3:22, listen now what it says. Even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Now the word believe means to trust in Him. Romans 3, verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. So this righteousness is imputed by faith. Well, folks, we're just about to an end of our broadcast this evening. And we entitled this broadcast this evening, The Illustration of Imputation. And we showed how Adam's sin was charged to us. It was charged to man. He represented us in the garden. But the good news tonight is there's a second Adam to come, and that was Jesus. And He represented us on the cross. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, His righteousness is charged to you. And your sin is charged to Him. It's by faith in Him. Well, folks, I pray that you've seen the teaching of Romans 5. Listen in again next week for another teaching out of the book of Romans chapter 5. Thank you so much for listening.